Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a lot to talk about today. Of course, Saddam Hussein has been sentenced to death for his crimes, just for a fraction of his crimes. And when he was on Sunday, the Vatican released a statement saying that to execute Saddam Hussein would be a crime equal to a murder that he has committed. And that was tragic. That is absolutely tragic. You know, the Catholic Church for centuries officially supported the death penalty. For centuries, they could have just quoted from the Bible, Old and New Testament, for their authority to support the death penalty. But often they preferred to quote from St. Thomas Aquinas, because he argued also for the death penalty. And it wasn't until, I believe, the 1960s, Colorado legalizes abortion, which was evil, 1967. And back then, in that decade, that's when the Catholic Church, I believe, officially opposed the death penalty. Officially. That's a problem because the Bible hasn't changed over those centuries, but the position against the death penalty, it undermines the sanctity of life. And in our Bible study at Denver Bible Church, Sunday night, last night, we were in Acts chapter 25. And in that chapter, the Apostle Paul is on trial for his life. If he's guilty, they want to kill him. And he volunteers to the Roman governor in Caesarea. He volunteers an endorsement of the death penalty. He says, if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. That's one of many statements in the New Testament that supports the death penalty, including Jesus directly, explicitly endorsing the death penalty. We have a two-hour video called God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And if you Google God and the Death Penalty, that phrase, or just the words God, Death Penalty, you get about 4 million hits. And Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, he wrote an article that deals with that. That's number 7 out of 4 million. Ours is number 1. Our article, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, is number 1. You could read it online, or you could get from us our video. You might want to call us 800-8-NYART, that's 800-836-9278, to see the New Testament support for the death penalty, and that helps Christians as they battle against, you know, the forces that are arrayed against God. It helps us evangelize, witness, helps get people saved, bringing them to the Lord. Okay. Also, Friday night, an extraordinary segment on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, where he is blasting George Tiller, the late-term abortionist in Wichita, Kansas, just blasting him, and he has Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein on, and I don't know if O'Reilly, I don't know what he was talking about, but he said, now Phil Klein fought for months to get the records of the patients at these two abortion clinics in Kansas where they're doing late-term abortions. And Phil Klein got the records, and he said, basically, there's probably going to be indictments because crimes are being committed, including that young girls ages 10 to 15 are being impregnated, apparently by adults in incest or rape or statutory rape. And the abortion clinics are just covering up those crimes and helping out the rapists. And O'Reilly stated on his program, O'Reilly stated that he has seen the records, the medical records of these 90 abortions. And he said, I'm not going to tell you how we got the records, but we obviously have somebody on the inside. So abortionist George Tiller is calling for a probe to investigate. He wants a special prosecutor appointed to find out how Bill O'Reilly got these medical records. So that's an interesting twist, of course. And also, we have the latest with Pastor Ted Haggard, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals and the senior pastor of New Life Church in Colorado Springs, who has been shoved out of the closet, basically. He's been outed as a homosexual by a homosexual prostitute in Denver. And this Mike Jones said that Ted Haggard would come to his apartment once a month about for 3 years, and he would buy methamphetamines, crystal meth, and they would have homosexual sex. And at first Haggard said, it's not true. Then he said, it's not true except the drugs. I bought the drugs, but I didn't inhale. And then he said, well, basically it's true. And in fact, we got that on Saturday through a press release from the overseer, the board of overseers of New Life Church. And they sent out this press release, and it was very direct. And so far, their conduct has been exemplary. They have been handling this perfectly from what I can tell. And my fear, as you know, if you heard the show on Friday, or if you read Dusty Saunders' column in the Rocky Mountain News on Saturday, my fear was that Haggard would be kicked out of the NAE, but his church might sweep the controversy under the rug, and he'd be back in the pulpit in 6 months. And that, of course, would be a tragedy. Well, so far, the overseer board of New Life Church is handling this perfectly. They sent out a press release, an email to all their church members, and then a press release on Saturday. And here's what it says. We, the overseer board of New Life Church, have concluded our deliberations concerning the moral failings of Pastor Ted Haggard. Now, for one, the expediency they brought to this was tremendous. I mean, you know, things happen, criminal things happen, and in our government, and they're going to investigate, and it's months later, people even forget what happened. So they said, we have concluded our deliberations concerning the moral failings of Pastor Ted Haggard. Our investigation and Pastor Haggard's public statements have proven without a doubt that he has committed sexually immoral conduct. Okay, so they say their investigation and Pastor Haggard's public statements. So that was interesting. His claim that he only bought crystal meth and he didn't have a relationship with this guy. A hotel recommended a massage once and that was it. That was obviously not true from the messages that we heard on the answering machine in the homosexual's apartment, because those messages were left. They showed a relationship of familiarity and one of trust. They knew each other. They knew each other well. Ted Haggard would visit his apartment on occasion. I'll be there next week, maybe the next, or whenever. You know, I'll come by whenever, Mike. Just get the stuff. And Mike knows he's good for it. And he didn't even say what it was he was buying. So when you own a business and somebody calls you and says, hey, Mike, thanks. Look, pick that thing up for me and I'll be there in a couple weeks. Obviously, the two know each other very well. They know what they're talking about. They trust that the guy is actually going to pay for what it is he's ordering. So anyway, and obviously a lot more happened behind the scene. And now that this has been out and confirmed from both sides, now the Denver police need to arrest this Mike Jones for being a admitted, confessed prostitute and drug dealer. So selling crystal meth out of his Denver apartment and running a prostitution business out of his Denver apartment, those are both crimes. So let's hope that the Denver Police Department has been tuning in to the news in the last week. Let's hope. Okay. So Dusty Saunders in his column yesterday, and that's in the Rocky Mountain News, and Dusty has reported on this show on and off for the last 15 years. He's one of the local journalists who have referred to Bob and Yurt Live as Denver's own Rush Limbaugh. And when he wrote that, I assumed he meant it as an insult, but we took it as a compliment. Joanne Ostro of the Post has written the same thing. Okay. Oh, and he also wrote that Pastor Gino Geraci, his talk show on KRKS FM, and Bob Enyar on KLTT AM, neither host rushed to the defense of Ted Haggard. And, of course, that was true. And so now we have the aftermath, and we pray that New Life Church will do what's right and not have Ted Haggard back in the pulpit in 3 months or 6 months. Now, when someone commits a crime like this, these are crimes, right? It's not only sin, it's crime. But the sins and the crime together are very serious. They're egregious. And it's not the kind of thing that a pastor commits and then just goes to counseling and a few months later gets back in the pulpit. These are the kinds of sins that take years to restore someone's reputation. You need to be above reproach to be the pastor of a church. That doesn't mean that you could never have committed adultery or never have sold drugs or never have been a drunkard or any of these things. The Apostle Paul was a murderer, and he was a lot higher than a deacon or an elder. He was an apostle, God's apostle to the Gentiles. So human beings can be reconciled and redeemed, even as Christians, and eventually back into ministry. But it is very unwise to spin somebody around and take them out of a prostitute's apartment and back into the pulpit in a short period of time. That is utter foolishness. Okay. All right. So that's what's happening with Ted Haggard and New Life Church in Colorado Springs. And now what I want to do is remind you of the caller we had on Friday from Longmont. Longmont, Colorado, we had a woman named Lana. Neat gal. She called in about Pastor Ted Haggard. And I'm going to play the call for you. Because at the very end of the call, she got to where I imagine millions of Christians were at. That we're not supposed to judge. Of course, the Bible over and over and over commands us to judge. Jesus commands us to judge over and over. There's a book in the Bible called Judges. If judging were bad, we'd have to rip that book out of the Bible. Maybe all the judges were the bad people in the book. No, God commands us to judge. His apostles command us to judge. Jesus commanded us to judge. Only we're told, judge not like a hypocrite, Jesus said in Matthew 5. Judge not, you hypocrite. If you are doing the same thing, don't judge. First, stop doing the same thing, and then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor. So, assuming any particular caller is not visiting a homosexual prostitute and is not buying crystal meth and not inhaling it, or whatever you do with the stuff, then you could judge according to Jesus. If you're not doing that, Jesus said, don't judge by outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And he commanded us to judge with righteous judgment. And the New Testament gets angry at Christians. There's actually anger from the New Testament toward Christians who do not judge. If they will not judge, that's rather frustrating. So what we're going to do is we're going to play Lana's call, and then at the end of the call, it's just a few minutes, at the end of it, add a little bit to the brief summary I've just given, all right? Let's go to Lana. Let's go to the phones in Longmont, Colorado. Lana, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, how are you, Bob?
Doing well, thanks.
I am interested in your comments on Ted Haggard. I have been to his church and have heard him, although I do not belong to his church.
Right.
After conferences with C. Peter Wagner and Chuck Pierce and all of those people.
Right.
And he came up through those ranks. I mean, he was supported by them. I think a lot of Ted Haggard. I am crushed. I cried this morning because
sure.
I could see the betrayal that I felt, and also for the church it was like a betrayal, and I felt for his family. And I want to say this. I know that he did the wrong thing, but I cannot. I have lied before in the face of truth because I was shocked that I was exposed. Then at once I lied, I asked the person's forgiveness for lying almost immediately within the hour.
Well, yeah, and he still has the opportunity to do that. That's very difficult, but he should do what King David did.
Mm-hmm.
And God was able to look at King David even after his sin.
That's right.
And say, David is a man after my own heart.
And I agree with you on that. And I believe the church with a capital C, not just his church.
Right.
But our church is accountable to that church. So if this thing is widespread, it has a tremendous consequence.
Lana, we're just out of time.
But I just want to say, we are not to judge.
Oh, there?
God
I knew,
says,
Lana,
do not judge.
Lana, I knew you were going to go there. Could you do me a favor?
Yes.
Could we continue this on Monday? Okay. Well, it's Monday, and we never did get Lana's phone number to get her back on the air. Of course, she's welcome, just like anybody is, to call in. 800-8-N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. Well, Hillary Clinton's favorite Bible verse is judge not. That's also true of a pastor who is visiting a homosexual prostitute on the side and buying crystal meth because he wants to grease the skids for himself in case he ever gets caught. You know, judge not. Judge not is a hypocrite's haven. Hypocrite's haven. That's what it is. Because Jesus, when he said judge not in Matthew 5, he's speaking to hypocrites. So if there are people selling drugs to kids on a playground, believe me, you have the authority from God to judge that what they are doing is wrong and to rebuke them and to condemn that publicly. It is wrong to sell crack cocaine to kids on a playground. It's wrong. It's wrong for a pastor to go to a prostitute. It's wrong. In fact, it's debilitating to a local church, of course. So Hillary and others will selectively choose passages in Scripture and then twist them to their own destruction. The sad thing is we understand that unbelievers would do this with the Bible. It's tragic when the body of Christ at large has been seduced with the lie, the cliche, that we're not supposed to judge. So Jesus commanded us in John 7:24 to judge with righteous judgment. In Luke 7:43, Jesus praised the man who judged rightly. We have a pamphlet called Judge Rightly. It's called Judge Rightly is not some guy's name. The Apostle Paul was ashamed of the behavior of the Christians in Corinth, in Greece. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, he reprimanded them. He said, "Isn't there anyone among you who's willing to judge the smallest matters? You can't even judge the least things. Don't you know that he who is spiritual judges all things? For we have the mind of Christ," he said in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And the Apostle Paul, to get the Christians judging, he said, "Do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you not know that we will judge the world?" And so throughout the Bible, there are commands to judge. And how absurd. You can't forgive someone unless you first judge them, that they've done something wrong, that they've wronged you. So the whole judge not lie is a scam designed to take the body of Christ and make us ineffective. Of course, we are supposed to judge. Not by outward appearance, Jesus said, but judge with righteous judgment. Okay, let's go to the phones. A quick call from Ohio and then Colorado Springs. Ohio, Nathan, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
I just wanted to thank you for teaching me as a Christian how to judge. I've been listening to you for a long time, and it wasn't until just a few years ago that I started ordering your Bible study tapes. I just wanted to call in and give a plug for your Bible study material.
I appreciate that.
My wife and I have been listening for the last couple of years, and we're just amazed at the depth of each Bible study and I was actually just talking to my father last week. He's just retired and actually just started as an associate pastor at his church.
Yeah.
We were talking about the topic of divorce. And his church holds that, you can't be a pastor if you've ever been divorced. And we started talking about it, and I questioned some of the stuff that he was talking about, and I suggested your video on divorce and remarriage. And he called up. He decided he was going to watch it, and he watched it last week, and he called me up, and he told me, he said he was amazed at some of the stuff that he learned in that video. He had never heard any of that kind of information about a divorce and remarriage before.
But thank you, Nathan, for calling in. That DVD we have and videotape, we point out that we use Bible material rarely considered. Most Christians, even Sunday school teachers, even pastors who teach classes on divorce and remarriage, most Christians have not even heard of the Bible verses that we use in this video on divorce and remarriage. And I don't know how many times Christians have made statements on the air, off the air to me in classes about divorce and remarriage, and I'll ask them a question, set them up like a trick question, and they answer it wrong, and then we open the Bible and they're stunned to see things that God said about divorce and remarriage that they would have never dreamed. So yeah, we have that video available on VHS and DVD, and it's at 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278, or go to our brand new beautiful-looking website. Got a beautiful new website, kgov.com. Now let's go to Colorado Springs. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Greetings from Colorado Springs. I just wanted to start with saying, I remember you from the old days on the show when you debated Wolfgang in Capixie.
Wow, what a memory you have. That's like 10, 12 years ago.
And, I wouldn't be the Christian that I am today without, watching you and listening to also John Leffler. He was,
sure.
He was another good guy.
Yep.
Now, here's my dilemma, Bob, concerning Mr. Haggerty. I had a personal friend, childhood friend, who was part of his inner circle who knew about this stuff 4 years ago.
Now, Haggard, right? Not Haggerty, but Haggard.
So, Ted Haggerty.
Ted. No, it's Haggard. There's no Y at the end. It's
okay,
just
yeah.
Ted Haggard.
Yeah, who was part of his inner circle and knew about this a long time ago and was actually extorting him.
Well, that's quite... Now, John...
And we brought this, and we were furious, and when we went to confront the church, his other inner circle wouldn't let us near him to let him know about what was going on with this other individual.
Now, John, let me tell you, the way talk radio works is people call in, and the audience doesn't know the caller. The host typically doesn't know the caller. And this is sort of like inside information that there's no way to confirm it. And so it's really not wise to make that kind of accusation as a caller to a show.
Okay, well, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does, and I appreciate it. The dilemma is when we try to confront him about this, everything that came out recently 4 years ago.
Right. Well, that is very significant information. And so what should be done is...
We went to the media, and we went to see if we had enough to go to law enforcement, and they said no.
This was 4 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, so what should be done now is the people who had the information should write out an affidavit or write a press release and just send it to the Board of Overseers, and it's fine to make it public, like you're doing, but not via a virtually anonymous call to a talk show. But it would be worthwhile because the Board of Overseers has said, they have said that they are going to continue to investigate, to explore the depth, I'm reading now, that we will continue to explore the depth of Pastor Haggard's offense so that they could know how to proceed. So I would think that is very significant, John. Thank you for calling, and I wouldn't let it drop. I'd get it in writing to the Board of Overseers.
Okay, well, thanks for helping me out, Bob. I love you, and you've helped me out a whole lot throughout the years.
God bless you, John. I appreciate that. Let's go to Fort Collins, Colorado. John, welcome. Two Johns in a row. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. I just really quick on Ted Haggard wanted to make a comment on not only the impact that he's had here in the body of Christ, but also the global impact with the Islamic community. And I was thinking how they must probably have this information, and it would cause them to hate and despise Christians all the more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just like Peter Boyles was so thrilled, he was reveling in this sexual immorality and hypocrisy of a Christian leader.
Mm.
Media around the world, in fact, on our website, kgov.com, for every show we put a summary up. We link to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, this Arab network, was telling people about this Christian leader's hypocrisy. So, yeah, just as happened with King David, when King David committed murder and adultery, the prophet Nathan was sent to him, and Nathan told David, by this deed you have given great opportunity to the enemies of the Lord. And that's what Ted Haggard has done. And you know what? That's what each of us, when we sin, we dishonor God, we give the opportunity to the enemies of the Lord to take that and run with it. And they do.
That's right. Such a tragedy. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank
God bless you.
God bless you. Appreciate that. So we are almost out of time, but I'm glad that a couple things were brought up. Our DVD on divorce and remarriage, our video, wow, what a powerful DVD. Everything we offer is a money-back guarantee. And our Bible study that deals with judging and rebuking and all those issues, those Christian attitude issues, those walk issues, forgiveness and all, you can get that from us. It's a Bible study album called Nicer Than God. We have it on MP3 CD and an audio tape. Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Brian Rohrbaugh is actually on the Nicer Than God album with me. And this is from some years ago. It's pretty neat. You'll want to hear that. Maranatha Christian Center, the best Christian school I've ever seen in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha. And check out our website, kgov.com.